Sermon this evening is about the eyes of your heart. But not just about the eyes of your heart, it's about the eyes of your heart as the Lord intended them to be, enlightened. The eyes of your heart enlightened. This expression holds a treasure of meaning. What it is talking about should be a daily occurrence for every Christian. It's unique language that occurs in this passage that is helpful to us as Christians. We have identified this sermon this evening as a special study of spiritual growth. A study of spiritual growth, of course, is intended to be a study for spiritual growth. So our whole purpose tonight is to look at this expression, look at the passage in which it occurs, and be able to be determined that we will grow spiritually and prepare ourselves for heaven. This expression is found in Ephesians chapter 1. So I invite you to turn your New Testament to Ephesians, the first chapter. And as we look at the part of chapter 1 where this expression occurs, it occurs actually in the second sentence. You may know that Ephesians, the first chapter, after you get past the first two verses, the salutation, contains only two sentences, two long sentences. The first sentence in the original language contains 202 words. We, you and I, don't normally write sentences that long, but the Apostle Paul did. The second sentence begins at verse 15 and continues through the end of the chapter, another long sentence that has 169 words. And it's in that second long sentence that this expression is found in verse 18. The apostle said, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We'll stop there for now. Look at other verses in just a moment. But this expression occurs in the flow of thought that is actually a part of a prayer. Paul begins a prayer in verse 15, or at least he begins to talk with them about praying for them. And so as he does that, this becomes a part of his prayer. And we'll note that. But the objective of this sermon this evening is to help each of us specifically to have the eyes of your heart enlightened. When you stop and think how unique that is for your heart to have eyes, and for them to have an expectation of the Lord in being enlightened. All of that has to do with our spiritual growth. There's nothing different that we don't know in this passage. It's just a different way of saying it that encourages and inspires us the way that Paul expresses and encourages us with this passage. So the first thing that I want to do is to give an explanation that will help us to look at what exactly that expression means. Each word has significance. Of course, it's talking about a heart, the eyes of our heart. Your spiritual heart is the mainspring of your life. It is the seat of your understanding. It is the place of your conscience. It is the seat of your emotions. And so it is the center of you so far as your being and your inward man is concerned. But what Paul is talking about in this expression is that your heart has eyes. We know that that's not literally true. So therefore he's using figurative language. That's a given. And so the figurative language, however, gives the heart the ability to see. That's really what Paul is doing with this expression, is showing that our heart has the ability to see. And that is the process in which you and I are involved. And then the point is, the eyes of our heart should be enlightened. The word photo or photon occurs in this word is the original word. That just simply is said this evening in this lesson to indicate that it comes from the original word for light. Our word light in all of its forms comes from the word that occurs in this passage, and that is the origin of this expression. But what this is talking about, as Paul is referring to our eyes being enlightened, it is simply have more light, or have an increased amount of light coming in. So I think that's enough to give us the picture, the word picture, of what Paul is talking about in this expression that he's using to encourage us to grow spiritually, in which he is directly referring to spiritual growth. Our heart, where our spiritual growth takes place, has eyes. That means it is able to see, figuratively speaking. And the eyes of our heart are to have more and more light coming into them. And the more light we have, the clearer and better our vision. In fact, we will say that it empowers us. Having our eyes of our heart enlightened enhances us. It empowers us. It gives us the ability to do things. It enables us. And here specifically is what that is. It empowers your heart to see more. If your eyes are being enlightened, your heart is seeing more. More light means more seen. It also means your heart is feeling more. Since the heart is the seat of your emotions, where you feel, or you have your emotions, love, hate, and all of those feelings, to have the eyes of our heart enlightened and more light, this simply means that's enabling or empowering our heart to do more of what it does, and that is have these emotions, to feel more. And then finally, all of this results in empowering us to act better, to be a better person, to improve us in our lives. You say, well, how did you get to that? Well, there's a principle, a biblical principle, that is both Old Testament and New Testament. And this exhortation comes from the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23. Watch your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That's the New American Standard Version of Proverbs 4:23. Give diligence to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And what that Bible principle is teaching is that the issues of your life, the springs of your life, the things that occur in your life flow from your heart, originate within you in your heart, and therefore the quality of your life is determined by the quality of what's inside your heart. And therefore the exhortation is, give diligence to guard that, to be very careful and cautious to protect that, because that determines your life. Now, adding that to the principle that Paul talks about in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our heart should be enlightened. The doing of that means that our vision, our spiritual vision is improving. Our spiritual emotions are getting deeper and stronger. And as our life is lived and as the issues of our life come forth from our heart, we're being a better Christian, a better person, in every aspect of our life. With that understanding of what that expression is talking about, in Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle in this prayer, in the praying of the prayer, teaches us what makes it happen, how it happens. And so when we look at that back in verse 17, the passage says that Paul prayed, this is his prayer, as recorded in the 17th verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having your heart the eyes of your heart enlightened, continues it then in verse 18. But this is the verse that precedes that. And it's in this verse that the Apostle Paul is praying for what will make that happen. And we could emphasize that by focusing on that expression. What did Paul pray? Well, that God would help them. God would help them make it happen. But what would God do to make it happen? That he would give unto them, unto us, unto you, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I have read over that a lot of times, and sometimes not taking the time to think about it as much as I should. But there's a treasure of information in those words that give us insight into our spiritual growth. And therefore, I want to isolate that expression and take a look at it, because that expression itself contains the key to our spiritual growth, because it is the key to having the eyes of our heart enlightened, or having more light, increased amount of light, come into our heart to help us see better, feel better, and be a better person. And therefore, let's look at the parts of this expression. When Paul talks about spirit, it's a little S spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about your spirit. When he's talking about your spirit, he's talking about the inward man. But here, perhaps more than that, is talking about an inward disposition. Have a spirit that is an inward attitude or disposition that guides us, that is a representation of our thinking, that directs our lives. Now, if you notice that expression, he wants God to help them by giving them a certain kind of attitude or disposition. Attitude is everything, so to speak. It's all in the mind, as we recently had in an article in the bulletin. But this is a spirit of wisdom. Okay? We understand the need for wisdom. It's a part of this. Wisdom is an understanding that helps us know how to apply the things that God wants us to do in our life. It's just the ability to take what we know and make use of it. And those who have more wisdom are able to make more use and better use of what they know than one who does not. So we strive to grow in wisdom. We need to have a spirit of wisdom. It's that spirit of wisdom that's going to give you eyes that are enlightened. But there's more. It's not just a spirit of wisdom, it's a spirit of revelation. Now, this is where I think we have to stop and think just a little bit. The word revelation, as it occurs in this passage, is the same word, apokalyptos, that entitles the last book in the New Testament. Apocalypsis. Apocalyptic. A revelation. And that word just simply means an unveiling. Something has been uncovered so that it can be seen and known. And that's what is a part of our eyes being enlightened. Something being uncovered so that it can be seen and known. That's what's going to bring more and more light. And so when we understand this, then putting all of these together helps us to draw a summary and kind of summarize our thinking on this in kind of a representative statement. A spiritual disposition that does what? To receive wisdom, to have wisdom, and a revelation through God's channel of communication, is the way I would put it, through the way God talks to us, through the way God communicates to you. How else are you going to have more and more light? It's an impossibility. So I hope we're thinking together on this and following these thoughts as they grow and develop, because we're progressing in understanding. The way that God communicates to us, namely, as I have indicated on this chart, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word, which was true in the first century, we're just simply taking our Bible and opening and reading it. Reading the Bible, reading the word of God, reading scripture. And so all of that is understandable. There's a part of this, however, that I think takes a little more thought. That when we have in our hand the Word of God, we have the inspired revelation. We have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. But this is talking about more than that. This is talking about a spirit of revelation in you. Now, listen carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood on this. Our New Testament scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are the revelation from the mind of God. But there is another revelation that must take place in order for your eyes to be enlightened. And that is a spirit of revelation in you. Well, what am I saying? That we receive some kind of miraculous revelation from God aside from the scripture? Absolutely not. No, no. But if you're like me, as I read and study, as you read and study, sometimes things are revealed to us from the revelation of God to our understanding, just quickly and clearly. Other times we spend hours studying, reading, thinking, trying to understand what the passage means. And then perhaps all of a sudden, just like a light bulb, you know, that I see it. And how often we do that. We say, I see it. I finally have seen what that means. Well, there is the seeing, the enlightenment of the eyes of the heart with an unveiling that took place within your understanding. It's not miraculous. It's just all taking place in your mental processes so that you take the revelation of God and it is revealed to your understanding by your efforts in studying and learning and growing. We come to understand the Bible in that way. Just because God revealed it doesn't mean that we understand it all or that it's revealed to us in full meaning. We have to apply ourselves to learn and to grow. And that's really what Paul is talking about here when he prays for the Ephesians to have a spirit of revelation, meaning they need to open up their minds and they need to learn and grow so that the revelation of God, the communication of the gospel of Christ, is revealed to their minds and hearts in a clear understanding of truth. And so when we look at that, this is how it happens. You see, we say, well, that's kind of saying the same thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of the way I've always thought. But Paul words it a little differently here, using some terms that we may not understand without giving further thought to them, and that they help us see what must take place. But it's a process that is very real, and that does take place within us. And as a result of it taking place, the eyes of our heart receive more and more light. I kind of envision it this way. Let me share this thought with you. Imagine yourself for just a moment blindfolded. You can't see a thing. It's just dark. No light. You're taken into a room that is absolutely dark. So you're blindfolded and can't see. You're in a dark room that has absolutely no light. So what are you seeing? Absolutely nothing. But that room is full of things that you should know. That room is full of some things that you need to understand. But you're in darkness. There is no light. So the blindfold is taken off. Still there's darkness. There is still no light. But there's a little night light over in the corner. You know, that little night light we may keep on in the hallway. At night, we see where we're going. A little bit. Well, there's a little bit of light. And that little bit of light shines a little bit over there, and I can actually see some things. And so I'm learning. There, I'm learning what's in this room. There are some objects. There's a stand. There's a chair. There's a picture. And then another light is turned on. More light. And there is more that can be seen. And I learn more about what's in that room. And then you see the process can go until the light is just as bright as I can be, and I understand and know what is in that room completely. Well, try to make an analogy of that to the Word of God. A little bit of light coming into the eyes of your heart. Well, we see some things and understand some things. But the more light that's turned on, let's turn up the light. Let's make it brighter. And the way that we do that is through the spirit of wisdom and understanding, through the knowledge of Him, by the way that God has communicated to us, by listening to the Word of God, by reading the Word of God. More and more light is coming on. And I'm seeing more. My eyes are being enlightened by an increase of light. And so as a result of that, I see more spiritual things. I understand more of the Word of God. My heart is made more vivid in its emotions, consistent with what God has revealed. So that's really what Paul is talking about in this expression that has a very real daily application. And I think if we understand it, we're able to apply it and use it more effectively. But I have one more thing I want to add to this, and that is a companion expression in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. We often talk about the relationship between Ephesians and Colossians. They're parallel in many places where Paul is saying the same thing. But sometimes it's worded a little differently. So I ask you to consider the statement in Ephesians 1:17. And actually, 18 as well, but with this verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and, he doesn't say revelation, he says understanding. So you see, there has been an uncovering in the mind that produces understanding from God's revelation. And so Paul's prayer to the Colossians is in effect the same and helps us understand the accuracy of our interpretation of that and its application to our lives. One other thing I want to notice from the passage, and that is the special knowledge that Paul talks about in this passage. Think about Bible knowledge. It can become overwhelming to think how much there is to know, to try to know and understand the Bible. And it's a lifelong process that we're all involved in. We learn the best that we can throughout the entire process of our lifetime, day after day. But in this passage, Paul mentions some special knowledge. And I regard these things as apparently things that Paul places a premium of importance upon for them to know. Because if the eyes of their heart are enlightened to know certain things, and then Paul mentions some specific things. To know this, to know this, and to know this. And he specifically mentions those things. Then we take those things seriously with their importance. So let's notice. This is verse 18 and verse 19, so we're staying with the text, trying to understand simply the language of the Scriptures. And verse 18 is the verse that we have read as the text of our lesson, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Now let's read carefully after that. That you may know, so here's the special knowledge, what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, So now let's identify those three things that he mentions. We underline them, identify them. In this, first of all, Paul said to know the hope of his calling. Sometimes we don't even think about hope. Sometimes individuals don't even have hope. But Paul places hope in a special pedestal in this passage to say it is something that we are to know as a result of our spiritual growth and the eyes of our heart being enlightened is to know our hope. To know what that hope is, it's the hope of his calling. To know what its function does, it has a practical function in your life. In Hebrews chapter 6, hope is identified as the anchor of your soul. It anchors you spiritually, keeps you in place. Otherwise, who knows what might happen to us if we go adrift, go with the current, the flow of the world, where would we end up? It is hope, our desire and expectation of going to heaven that keeps us anchored in Christ. Another, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle John talks about those who have this hope set on them purify themselves as he is pure, as Christ is pure. So he's simply teaching us that those who have hope will keep themselves pure. Knowing I have to be pure to go to heaven, if I hope to go to heaven, then I have to keep myself pure. That's true in all of our thinking. And so hope that we have as a result of God calling us into his family, into his eternal purpose, is one of the special things that the eyes of our heart is to know and see, especially. But there's a second thing, and that is to know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's kind of wordy, isn't it? But that's Paul's words, not mine. So I try to understand that along with you. But let's take a look at that expression and see what is it that is special knowledge here. Well, first of all, God has an inheritance. God has an inheritance? Yes. Because Paul talks about his inheritance, that is God's inheritance. If we go back up to verse 11 in this same chapter, he said, in whom also we Christians were made a heritage. You see, that's saying the same thing. We were made his inheritance. So the inheritance of God is the church, Christians. And what he's talking about here that we are to know is what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, we as Christians who are the inheritance of God and claims us as his inheritance, we have glory. Our glory has riches. Well, those are Bible terms that we understand that they mean that in terms of our glory, the blessings that we have, the promises that God has given, the anticipation of our spending eternity in heaven, in the glory of heaven, with the glory of Christ. And Paul talks about the riches of that. To know the riches, how abundant, how wealthy. Now, not in secular terms, not according to worldly standards or monetary values, but in spiritual values, according to God's standard, the riches of the glory that he has in us as his inheritance is abundant. It is identified as riches, as wealth. So what Paul is doing, we need to know, a special knowledge is how important we are to God. We need to know and learn and continue to grow in our understanding of exactly how he looks upon us as his inheritance and as our possessing that glory and the riches of that glory. There is also another. And we are to know, this is the third, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. I think this was mentioned in Bible class this morning. The power of God as he intervenes in the affairs of nations, but more personally, how he intervenes in the affairs of your life as an individual. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The greatness of his power to usward. As God, as our Father, providentially rules in the affairs not just of nations, but of your individual life. In response to your prayers, we take that lightly sometimes. We think that's nothing sometimes. But what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing in this expression is that we are to have knowledge of what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, who are his children, is. According to that working of the strength of his might, I nor you can understand the greatness of the power of God. One writer used with reference to describing this, trying to put it in terms that we can understand or that might be used in everyday, is just a megaforce, a powerful megaforce. Well, we don't realize that except sensing that spiritually and God's providential rule in our lives and what God is doing in his part in our lives as Christians in carrying out the providential care of those who are his children. As he rules in the affairs of nations, as he rules in the affairs of the universe, it is all held together by him. But Paul's point is that same power, as he goes on in the very next verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the power. And made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The power of God is seen in Christ, in his resurrection, in his exaltation, in his place as sovereign ruler of all. And special knowledge, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know, come to learn more and understand better the exceeding greatness of his power to us. Well, we've taken a look at that passage, a special study of spiritual growth. The way Paul talks about it there, we understand. You know, he's talking about me growing stronger. He's talking about the eyes of my heart seeing more. But understand that it is in answer to prayer. Paul prayed that this would happen to the Ephesians. You and I must also pray that God help us, just as Paul prayed in this passage. And then we must do our part. God helps those who help themselves, as the saying goes. We have to put forth the effort. We have to spend the time. We have to open the book. We have to listen and learn and do our part. And all of that enlightenment, that light, that increased light, will help us grow in our understanding and ability to serve God. You may be here this evening and subject to the invitation as we prepare to sing this song. We sing it for the purpose of offering the opportunity tonight to anyone present desiring to respond to the gospel, to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, or to come confessing sin and going to God in prayer for forgiveness. If we can be of help to you this evening, let us know while together we stand and sing.